Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, CoverThatSpread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
Everyone, welcome to the Fantasy Freeway presented by the Red Light Sports Network. If that intro sounds familiar, it is because that is The Spread, and we have that show on Wednesday night, and that is the studio that we are using today. And of course, my host with Fantasy Freeway, J.A., how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You know, I was had a nice little summer break, and I'm ready to get back at this now that football season is in sight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it seems like years since we had the last Fantasy Freeway show. It really does. You know, we finished up at the end of the NBA season, and you and I decided, and part of that was due to work, that having weekly baseball, as fun as it would have been, really would have given us gray hair and probably would have taken forever to go through all the matchups every weekend, because on the weekend the games are packed. There's so many games and there's so many players. And we decided to take a little break from the Fantasy Freeway, but I think it was much needed. I'm refreshed. Are you ready to get rocking and rolling in the NFL season, J.A.?
I cannot wait. So let's get this kicked off as soon as we can.
Well, you and I have to get it kicked off as soon as we can, because you and I can talk forever, and we've only got 30 minutes. We'll go a little bit of archive time, but we've got a great segment lined up. This is the first of three parts. We're going to do wide receivers, tight ends. We're going to do quarterbacks, and we're going to do running backs. Tonight, J.A., we're going to talk about wide receivers and tight ends, and the way that fantasy football has been going the last couple of years, there's a big premium on wide receivers. But I also want to talk today about finding value in the middle rounds, because there are so many teams now that have good number ones, twos, and threes, and you really can get production from rookies now, which 5 years ago, rookies were nobody that you drafted at all in fantasy football because they barely saw the field. Now these rookies are getting in, they're playing right away, and they're producing, a.k.a. Odell Beckham Jr. from last year. A guy had a spectacular year. But I don't think in the beginning of the draft, many people considered him a first-round fantasy pick. So let's just take it away, J.A. We got wide receivers. What are your overall thoughts on the wide receiver tight end positions in the 2015 NFL fantasy season?
Well, we've got, you know, the typical issues, as always, at wide receiver, and that is, you know, there's multiple receivers per team. You know, sometimes some teams have three, even go four deep at, you know, real fantasy receivers. So that's something you always got to take into consideration when you're starting to get in, if you're doing a draft format. You know, I had this conversation today with somebody who asked me, if you were starting a dynasty league where you would keep your team for 5 years, who would be the number one overall pick? And the first words out of my mouth were, well, I'm not bothering drafting a wide receiver. And it's true, because there's so many guys that you can get you can get a lot of value late in the draft. You can get a lot of value from guys who, you know, put up good numbers at the end of the year. And when you're looking at their stat line, you're thinking, boy, where did all that happen? I don't remember them having any big games. But it's one of those positions where there's a couple of really top-tier guys that you say, I'm either getting one of them or I'm dropping down and I'm going to get three mid-level guys because there's in between, it's just not worth what I'm going to give up by taking this position over another one. So I like every, you know, I like the receiver position because of the complexity of it, but when I'm approaching it, especially this year, I think I'm going to start looking a little further down the line. I'm going to avoid all the big-name players because typically the big-name guys are the ones that fall on their faces harder than the guys further down the draft board.
I can agree and disagree with you there, though, Jay. I mean, it depends on where you're picking, too, in that first round. And it also kind of depends on the league that you're in. Now, you and I, when we start doing Fantasy Freeway on the weekends, when we do DraftKings, our thought process is going to be totally different than an NFL fantasy draft. But, for example, I'll be in two leagues this year that I need to draft in. Don't know my draft order yet. But let's say you're in the top five, Jay. Would you take a top receiver in the top five? Are you going to go different position there?
It's going to come down to the scoring. You know, that's obviously one of the big things you have to take into consideration. You know, I could see myself taking an Antonio Brown, maybe a Julio Jones, with those first five picks if the guy that I really wanted came off the board. And let's say there's, you know, like three or four top-tier running backs that all go off and I'm picking five. Then I'm going to probably have to consider taking a receiver. But I think the value at some of these other positions is just a little too much where you can make up the points at receiver a little farther down. So, you know, I'm going to go more that route and know that I can get a, you know, there's possibly a third receiver on a team that's going to get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I may take my chances with him as opposed to taking a top-end guy.
I can't disagree with you. And I think, and I've said this last year when we had our fantasy football roundtable with a bunch of guys joining in, and a lot of it will depend on your league and the way that league is forming. You know, you might have guys in there, and all of a sudden there is a big influx of running backs that are being taken, and all of a sudden your guys are gone. You might need to switch to another position where you weren't originally going to take a receiver and you didn't think you were going to get the likes of an Antonio Brown or a Jordy Nelson or a Randall Cobb or Calvin Johnson, and all of a sudden they're on the board because everybody decided to go running back. And you never know. Every year the draft is different. You know, you can say, hey, I'm playing with the same guys. I know how these guys pick, but it's never the same. It is never the same from year to year, J.A., and so a lot of it depends on that draft day. And so what we're going to do in our three-part series, we're going to talk about some of the receivers that we think are going to have good years or follow up with the years they had last year because, like you said, in a dynasty league, you're looking at long-term production. And when I look at receivers, there's been so many receivers and running backs, I should say that, and even quarterbacks that have that great year. And then next year, everybody's all hyped up. Like, oh, I got to take so-and-so in the top five. Got to take him. He's a top pick. But there's a couple of things you got to look at. You got to look at what happened in the offseason. Did the team make significant changes? One of it is you got to look at the team's schedule. Do they have a harder schedule? And like you said, some of those yards and some of those points may have come in mop-up duty, may have come when the team was out of the playoff race, when the team didn't care, they were resting players. So I'll ask you that question, Jay. How many times have we seen a guy have a spectacular year in the prior year? And then all of a sudden his fantasy value has just vaulted the next year, and he was a bust. Anybody come to mind?
Oh, I've got tons of names. Ronnie Brown being a big one. He's a running back, but still, he's one guy that, you know, definitely screwed me one year with that. What was the one receiver down in Tampa? Was it Mike Williams where he had the big rookie season with like 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns? The next season fell flat on his face. There's definitely a really good track record of these types of guys.
And so that's what we're going to start with now, Jay. We're going to talk about receivers that we think can copy what they did last year or a receiver that was kind of on the cusp, that last year was one of those third, fourth, fifth round picks that maybe had a solid year, and now a year later, this is a receiver that's going to have a breakout year. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and let's just have a conversation. We don't have to rank them in any specific order, but let's talk maybe about the top four or five wide receivers that we think are in this year's NFL fantasy draft. So I'll let you take it away, buddy, and I'll just go with the flow, and I'll comment on your guys.
Well, I was telling you the story about the Dynasty League, and the name that eventually I came up with that I would take first overall was Aaron Rodgers, and the guy I was talking to said, what about Andrew Luck? And I'm like, well, yeah, him too. So either way, the reason I take Rodgers is because of his receivers. And Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, these guys are going to put up big numbers because they're good. They're going to put up big numbers because they have the best or the second best quarterback in the league throwing the ball to them, and he knows how to get it to them. So I think one of these guys has to be in the conversation, possibly both of them, because you know if you got either of them going any given week, you're probably going to be pretty set with that first wide receiver option. So anyone on the Packers, I think I'm good to go with. When you look at that big group of Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, you know, these guys have all kind of – Antonio Brown took the big step forward last year, but these other guys kind of took a little bit of a step back last year, I felt, compared to where they were 2 years ago. So you've got to wonder, is that going to be more of a backward step for them overall, or was that just a small bump in the road that they're going to come back from? A.J. Green, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, he was pretty much undisputed top two or three wide receivers. Right now I'm seeing him down on a lot of boards too. So outside of the Green Bay receivers, I'm even thinking T.Y. Hilton, who I wasn't very high on last year. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to get a lot of passes his way, and Andrew Luck is going to be looking at him. He knows how to get him the ball. You know, it's going to come down to, can the quarterback get these guys the ball? Odell Beckham Jr. is another great example of a guy that can get the ball, that Eli Manning can get the ball to. So I think I'm going to go Packers receivers. They're going to be in my top five. I think T.Y. Hilton is going to be in my top five. A guy that I think is not getting a whole lot of love but deserves to be there is Kelvin Benjamin of the Panthers. I feel like he made some good strides last year, and he's ready to take off even more this year. And unfortunately, I don't really have a good rookie that I feel that comfortable with yet. But if there is a guy that I kind of think has a chance, it was Green Beckham, who was drafted by the Titans. I know they're going to have a rookie quarterback throwing to him. That's why this is a complete, like, dark horse. But he's a rookie that I'm going to be keeping an eye on because he's got a big body, and they should be able to incorporate him very early into that offensive system in Tennessee. And I didn't even mention Amari Cooper, and he was my guy coming out of the draft at the receiver position. So, you know, there's like I was saying before in the opening, I think you've got a lot of options no matter which route you want to go with these with this wide receiver spot.
Well, I want to, you know, you look at it, it is so deep. And so that's my question to you. When you're looking at your league, and I haven't sat down and put together my draft philosophy yet. I'll put together, you know, it's hard when you're in fantasy to say, well, I want to take the best player available, because you have to have a strategy and you have to stick to it. And if you start letting other people dictate what's going on, that's when you look at your team at the end of the draft and you go, what the hell did I do? So you got to find a strategy of what you're going to do. And when I look at these receivers, I'm going to target probably five or six guys that I really want. And I got to be realistic, you know, of the top guys, I'm not going to be able to get all the top guys, so I have to go down the list a little bit. But when I look at the top guys, I'll tell you, I know you said the Green Bay Packer receivers, and you know I'm from Green Bay, so I'm a diehard Packer fan, and I'm actually going to put an article out on the Red Light Sports Network here probably in the next week or so. Could we see 3,000-yard receivers in Green Bay this year? And the answer could be yes. Davante Adams stepping up. He was the go-to guy last year in the playoffs. He is a guy that Rodgers has gained ultimate confidence in, and the guy's only got an upside. You got Cobb and you got Nelson. They're going to get their catches. You put Adams on the field. You now have three guys. How do you cover that? And the other thing to this is there's a guy named Ty Montgomery that they drafted, J.A., and all reports early in training camp that this guy is going in and working his butt off. And if you now have a legitimate number four receiver, how the heck do you cover four receivers? And who's going to get the ball? Rodgers will spread it out. He's going to get the ball to Nelson, to Cobb, and Adams. I like Davante Adams. That's a name I want people to remember. Now, I don't think he's a first-round draft pick. I don't even think you take him in the second round. But this is a guy, I think, J.A., that you can get in the fourth or fifth round and get good production out of. Not going to say he's your number one receiver. He's a receiver to me, though, that many people may overlook because they're saying, well, Rodgers has Nelson, that he has Cobb. But Davante Adams, J.A., to me, is a guy that's going to get catches, touchdowns, and yards. What are your thoughts on Davante Adams?
Well, I think you're getting a little greedy right now. I mean, the Bears can't even cover Jordy Nelson if they put all 11 guys on him. And now you've got three, maybe even four. So, you know, just let's cool the horses a little bit here. But you know what? Davante Adams is a great, great subject to bring up here because if you're drafting him in a season-long league, you may have some real hits and misses from week to week. But he's a perfect guy to be playing in a weekly league, in a daily fantasy league, because you can pick your spots on when you want to draft him. You can pass on him when you know he's going against either a tough slot cornerback or a tough nickel cornerback, or he's going against a difficult defensive matchup. So I think he's very well suited for daily fantasy. You definitely need to be cautious with him if you're counting on him to be your third receiver in a regular fantasy league. But I don't see anything that's going to slow him down because the thing that's made the Packers and Aaron Rodgers so great the last few years now is Rodgers' ability to spread the ball out and not just lock in on one receiver at any one time. He has the ability to scan the entire field, get the matchups that he wants, and find any receiver the second they get open. So, you know, I don't see there being any kind of hesitation with Adams. I would just be very careful if I'm drafting him as a third receiver in a season-long fantasy league.
Great points. I'm going to throw another name out there. I know you mentioned some big-name guys, and I don't think we really need to get into all those. So I'm going to stick on this third receiver type thing, late-round draft pick, because I was looking, and you had mentioned some rookies, and we talk about you have to look at the situation. And I'm going to switch over to Seattle real quick, J.A., the nemesis of the Green Bay Packers. They picked up Jimmy Graham in the offseason. So he's, you know, equivalent to a wide receiver at tight end. But they drafted Tyler Lockett. And so this is a rookie that I think is going to see the field because the wide receiving core for Seattle, in my mind, averaged to below average last year. As long as this guy can, you've got to watch preseason. You've got to see how his playing time's coming around. But just another name to watch. Again, not a number one guy, not even a number two guy. But this is a guy that you might, if he's there late in the draft, might want to snag up because Seattle's got to throw the ball at times. And I really don't like any of their other receivers. But I like this kid. I like Lockett. And if he can play well enough in the preseason, he might get some snaps and might get some touches in the season. What are your thoughts on Tyler Lockett of Seattle, the rookie?
Let me be the first one of the 2015 NFL fantasy football season to say you stole my thunder. And although I was not going to bring up Lockett, no, I was not bringing up Lockett specifically, but I was going to touch on Jimmy Graham and basically break down why Jimmy Graham is going to be way more important this season with the Seahawks than he was in the previous years with the Saints. But the reason why I think he's going to be most important is the same reasons that you have why Lockett's going to be a big deal, because they don't have very good receiving options. Now, one thing I was a little discouraged with is that Lockett's only 5'11", and if I remember correctly, Doug Baldwin's 6', maybe 6'1". So they're still lacking size on the outside, which, as we've seen in the last 2 years, is not a big deal for Russell Wilson. But it's really a big deal when you consider that now the only guy that you have with any kind of size can't quite stretch the field. So Lockett is going to have to try to be the one to stretch the field here. I think he's got the best speed out of any of the receivers. So we're going to see how this plays out in Seattle. I agree with you. I'm not willing to trust him, but this could be, especially if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, whatever you want to call him, if you can get this guy in the 10th round, maybe a little even later, I think this could be a really good gem that you could get. Maybe not helping you out all of 2015, but definitely by 2016 if he's a solid keeper for you.
Definitely. Yeah, I didn't mean to steal your thunder right off on the first show. 20 minutes into the fantasy freeway season, I'm stealing thunder. I love it. I love it because, J.A., you're usually the one stealing the thunder from me. Let's switch back now to some of the top receivers. You had mentioned the big names, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham, Jordy Nelson, and I'm just going down a list. I'm on ESPN Fantasy Rankings. When you're looking here, J.A., and you're looking at, and I want to touch on Antonio Brown. They've got him ranked as the number one receiver. And I have no arguments with that. I'm okay with that. I live in Western PA, so I know what happened last year. And I know the potential that that offense has. And honestly, I will say this. The Steelers' offense is going to be, in my mind, one of the top five in the NFL this year with a healthy Le'Veon Bell serving a suspension early, coming back. They've got a running game. They've got the old reliable at tight end in Heath Miller, and they've got good receivers, and they drafted Sammy Coates. So they've got good receivers. They've got a good running game. Can Antonio Brown, J.A., repeat the season he had last year? Is he worth the number one overall pick? So I'm not asking if he's the number one receiver. Would you consider in this year's draft taking Antonio Brown number one overall?
I am going to say no. And the biggest reason I'm going to say no is because he doesn't get to play against his own defense, which I think if he played against the Steelers defense, he easily would have eclipsed 2,000 yards last year. But, you know, I'm going to say no. And the biggest reason is kind of what we were leading off with, where the guy that usually has this huge season is going to not necessarily take a step back, but he's not going to put up that same kind of production the next year. I do like what the Steelers have offensively. I like what they bring. I just don't think anybody is going to continue to let him run around in the secondary without double or triple coverages over the course of this season. He probably is going to have some big games here and there. He's probably going to be right at the top of the wide receiver list. I don't see him being able to put up that same level of production again, just because I don't think any defense is going to allow him.
Sure. Well, I've got a beef with the ESPN poll, and I'm going to jump on the Pittsburgh Steelers bandwagon. I really like Martavius Bryant. He was a guy that I picked up in DraftKings late in the year when he started playing, and he won me, literally won me games on Sundays with his touchdowns. They've got him ranked as the 37th best receiver, J.A. They've got, and I've got it scrolled up on my screen right here. They've got Aguilar, the rookie from Philly, ahead of him at 34. How do you put Aguilar ahead of Martavius Bryant, J.A.?
That's beyond me. I don't have a good answer for that one.
I can understand. They have Amari Cooper. They have Amari Cooper at 23, and I'm okay with that because he's in Oakland, and Oakland's trying to figure things out, and Cooper's probably going to find the field. I'm okay with Cooper being there. But when I looked at this list and I was looking for Bryant specifically, because he's another one of those guys like the Devontae Adams, not a number one guy, but he's a guy that you can maybe get in a fourth, fifth round if he's still there. And I would definitely take him in the fourth or fifth round. He's a guy that you can look at. He's not a guy that's going to be your one or two. He's a guy that I would look for a great flex guy that I can move in and out depending on the matchup every week. But when I looked at the ranking and I saw 37th and I saw Aguilar at 34, I literally like did one of those, what are you doing? How can you put a rookie ahead of Martavius Bryant that really stepped up in the last eight games of the year. What are your thoughts on Martavius Bryant?
He came out of the gate really strong last season and kind of faded out a little bit, and I know a lot of that was because Antonio Brown just started running wild in the secondaries and no one was bothering trying to guard him. Another name that I think I was a little surprised was ahead of him was also Allen Robinson of Jacksonville. I don't see him being able to put up the 1,000 yards that they're projecting for him this season. So, you know, that's a little beyond me. But, you know, Martavius Bryant has a really good opportunity to step things up here. And I misspoke. He did not come on until week 7 of last year. It was was it Washington that came on at the beginning? Somebody on the Steelers, I remember, had like 17 catches through 3 games or something like that. So, yeah, Brian came on late in the season. So now that I got my players right, I'm going to say that, you know, Brian could definitely exceed this 37th ranking. They have him projected for 763 yards and 6 touchdowns. I would look for him to definitely make a huge stride and build off of what he did last year. So, yeah, if he's ranked 37th, I would definitely be, you know, stretching him up more into the mid-20s maybe even the low 20s. But, yeah, you're right on. This draft or this projection seems to be a little off with Bryant.
Yeah, so now I'm gonna head back up to the top, and I know I'm kind of going all over the place, but I want to talk about Dez Bryant. Now, he's a guy that he can light up the world. He can give you 12 catches for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he had a very good year last year. Tony Romo had a very good year last year. I'm gonna say it right here on the first Fantasy Freeway show. I'm saying stay away from Dez Bryant this year. And the reason I'm saying that, J.A., is they lost one key component to that offense. There's one reason Tony Romo was really good last year, and that's because they had a guy named DeMarco Murray that could give them field position anytime. And Tony Romo was upright because teams had to honor the run. They didn't know. It could be 3rd and 8, and they had to honor DeMarco Murray in the backfield. Whether it was running or out of the backfield, they had to honor DeMarco Murray. They couldn't go all out at Tony Romo. And when Tony Romo stays upright, I will give him all the credit in the world. He's a very good quarterback. But when he's on his butt, he's not that good. And without a running game, and I know they've done some things, and they brought some guys in. But McFadden, I don't think, is the answer, and he's got a hamstring injury. He's on the PUP list right now. I'm not sure if the Cowboys can do the same things offensively this year that they did last year without Murray. Because teams, until they can prove they can run the ball, they're not going to respect the running game like they did last year, which is going to affect Tony Romo in the passing game. Agree or disagree with me, J.A.?
I agree. A lot of what made their running game so special last year was the offensive line. So, you know, it's definitely a combination of losing your top running back, not being able to replace him. I'm hearing good things about Joseph Randle in training camp so far, but it's not enough to sell me on taking Dez Bryant. I think, you know, some of the other issues too is when you look at the other receivers on the roster. You know, Terrence Williams did not make the step up that they needed out of him last year. Cole Beasley had a couple of nice games here and there, but he's not going to be a guy that's taking pressure off of Dez Bryant. He's a guy who is getting looks because of Dez Bryant. And at tight end, you know, you've got Jason Witten there still, but he's more of a check down guy at this point. He's not a guy that's pushing things on the offense. So I completely agree with you with that Bryant statement, that this is probably going to be a little bit of a step back. You know, at the end of the year, he may have the same amount of receptions, the same amount of yards, but they're not going to be consistent. And that 16 touchdowns, I don't think he's going to come close to it. And just remember, if he had one more touchdown last year, things would have been a lot different in the playoffs.
I agree with you, buddy. No, again, I'm not saying that Dez Bryant, I'm not, and I should kind of recant just a little bit. I wouldn't completely stay away from Dez Bryant, but I am not wasting a first-round pick on him, or even maybe my, I call it the kickback pick when you go back in round one. If he was there in the third round, I may take Dez Bryant. Like you said, he's the number one guy. They've got to have some options, and they're going to throw the ball. But I would not go and take him in the first or second round. They have him ranked as a number three receiver. And all due respect to Dez Bryant, he probably deserves that after the year he had. But that's why I led the show off with, can these guys maintain what they did last year? My answer for Dez Bryant is no. And so people can probably disagree with me wholeheartedly on that one, J.A. And I know now we're in archive time, but I do want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, my, what a rookie season he had, buddy. He had a spectacular rookie season and came out of nowhere and put up huge fantasy numbers and made unbelievable catches. But can he do it again this year? Can he improve his game? That's the question I have for you.
He had seven 100-yard games in his last nine last season. That is incredible. In the two games that he didn't have 100 yards, he had 93 and 90. So I don't think he can – I don't think he can do that again. I just don't see it. I don't think there's any possible way. The same reason that I don't think Antonio Brown can do this again, I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. can do it again, just because nobody's going to allow him to continue to run around by himself. Now, another reason I think that's going to kind of hurt him this year, Victor Cruz is going to be back, and hopefully Victor Cruz comes back fully healthy for his sake. So I just don't, you know, when you looking at Odell Beckham Jr., his game log from week nine on looks like when I play Madden on rookie. That's what it looks like, his numbers compared to what I play in Madden. So I just don't think he can do that again, not because he's not good enough, just because I don't think anybody's going to let him run around that much. He had three, six, seven touchdowns the last 4 weeks of the season. That's just – there's no way that happens again.
Yeah, like you said, I like the Madden analogy. That is that's a good one because – like I said, he had such a wow season. I mean, it really was just an amazing rookie season. But this is what I see. When I look at Odell Beckham, they got him ranked as the fourth receiver. This is another guy. I probably won't take him in the first round, but I might think about taking him in the kickback, depending on where I draft. I think he's going to have a productive year. I think he can be a number one guy for you, but don't expect the numbers that he had last year. And that's why you got to be real careful with your draft strategy. How do you want to approach your receivers? But when I look at – I really look at this group, J.A., and I don't see one guy – and correct me if I'm wrong – but I don't see one guy where I say I have to go have this receiver. Do you? Am I crazy, or are there like 15 guys that I think can be capable number ones for me, and there's nobody that I have to have that'll make me win a championship?
I'll flip it around and look at it a different way, because I agree with you, but when I look at this list of receivers, I see a lot of guys that I don't want. And I think that on draft day is just as important to look at as opposed to figuring who you have to have, because there's going to be a point in the draft, it may be in that first round, where the guy you wanted, maybe the two guys you wanted, got taken the two picks before you, and suddenly you aren't prepared, the clock is on, and you are sitting, you're looking at the top-rated guy, and you know it's somebody you don't want. So I'm going to say there's a number of guys that I don't want on this list as opposed to that I have to have.
Now, that's a good way to look at it, too. You know, like you said, and we'll talk about this as we wrap up our series and head into the season, you have to have your draft strategy. And when you're looking, there's guys, like I just talked about, Dez Bryant. You know, I'll watch him, and I'll see where he goes. But I'm not going to pull the trigger on a Dez Bryant, like I said, probably until the third, fourth round if he's still there. I'll let somebody else have that problem in my mind. So I get where you're going. You kind of want to make a list. You want to look at these top receivers, and you want to kind of tear them off. And I guess that's what we'll do here at the end of the show. We have about 10 minutes left. When you're we haven't talked about tight ends, so we'll talk about tight ends real quick. But I want to get this thought in, Jay. Looking at receivers, my philosophy when I look at the receiving core is I kind of do what you said. I look at the guys that I think can be number ones for me, guys that can be number twos, and then kind of that sleeper and the guys that maybe I can roll into a flex position and I don't have to play every week, and then I have a group of guys that I'm going to stay away from. You do something similar, so I kind of have like a square and I draw a line down the middle and I draw a line horizontal and I have my four quadrants of players. Do you do something similar?
I do, and I don't think I go to those lengths, but I definitely, you know, you filter it through and you just say, who do I like because of a matchup? Who do I like because who they are? Who don't I like and who don't I like because who they are? So it definitely, you gotta visualize it. If you want to write it down, that's great. If you want to, you know, come up with flow charts, awesome. Please call me because I need someone to make flowcharts for me on a regular basis. So, you know, it's just about looking at it from as many different angles as you can, or at least having that consistent view of a pros and cons list of why should I like this guy, why should I try to avoid him, and make your decision on which one is outweighing the other.
Right on, buddy. Let's move to tight ends. I'm going to go quick, so I'm going to let you take it away. Tight ends. Where do you go to tight end this year?
I mean, you know, you've got the top tier guys. You've got Gronkowski. You've got Jimmy Graham. Martellus Bennett, I think, is up there. The two intriguing guys that I think are in this year's class, Delanie Walker. He had a great year last year with 890 yards, only four touchdowns. But this guy, he averaged 14.1 yards per catch from the tight end position, which is pretty good. Reason I like him is because he's going to be working with the young Mariota. You know, young quarterbacks tend to like their check down tight ends. Walker is the type of guy that I think can make a difference and make him very comfortable early on in the season. Another guy that I like is Julius Thomas, now that he is with Jacksonville. Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of receiving options, so I think Thomas can be a very good option for Blake Bortles. Now, what I am concerned with Julius Thomas is that he's not as much of a, you know, a guy that's just going to run a couple of yards and do a little hitch route. He's not going to be a guy that I think is going to make easy targets for a young quarterback, but I do think Bortles, having that extra year under his belt, is going to be a little more experienced and know how to find Thomas. So I'm looking at both of those guys in really bad offenses to maybe it is just a lot of garbage points that they're putting up, but points are points in fantasy. No one cares when it comes. Jordan Cameron made the move down to Miami. I think that they are going to be able to finally use him the way that Cleveland could not. And finally, the guy that I wanted to talk about was Jimmy Graham. I've been hearing a lot of reports. People are, you know, talking about how he's working on his blocking and they expect him to be more of a blocker this year. I would not buy into that one bit. When you look at the Seattle tight ends last season, they had 84 targets, but they only caught 48 of those, 757 yards, six touchdowns. Now, Marshawn Lynch had four touchdown catches and led the team in touchdown catches. He had 17 total touchdowns. Wilson ran for six touchdowns. That's 23 of the 40 offensive touchdowns last year scored by Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson. This kind of big body is what this offense has been needing. I think that they are built to throw the ball in play action to a tight end. So I am looking for Jimmy Graham's numbers to explode this year. I think he's going to be the top guy at tight end. I think he will outperform Gronkowski. And, you know, when you're talking about a number two guy being the number one guy, it's not like any kind of huge statement that I'm making here, but I think Jimmy Graham's numbers are going to go up as opposed to go down like they're being projected on ESPN right now.
I can't disagree with you, buddy. Can't disagree one bit. This whole thing about Jimmy Graham becoming a blocker, that's crazy talk. It really is. And I'm looking at the time, so I can't go off on a tangent here. Jimmy Graham was not brought in to block people. I don't care what people say. People can say, and they, well, you know, he's got to fit into the system, blah, blah. That's a bunch of bull crap. Jimmy Graham was brought in to try and catch 80 to 100 balls as a tight end. That's what Jimmy Graham was brought to Seattle to do, J.A. There's no other reason. They didn't bring Jimmy Graham in to block for Marshawn Lynch. Now, don't get me wrong. That is the identity of that team. They will keep pounding Lynch. But when you've got a Jimmy Graham that can line up wide, they're going to use him. And Russell Wilson can get him the ball. Russell Wilson can extend plays. And when you've got Jimmy Graham against a cornerback that is a mismatch, if Russell Wilson breaks the pocket and Jimmy Graham is running around, what a target for Russell Wilson. I think he has a huge year. I want to throw a name out, and again, time permitting, we've got 4 minutes left, J.A. The team that Jimmy Graham came from, the New Orleans Saints, if you're in a league that is deep and you draft and can have a backup tight end, one guy that I would consider taking that's probably going to be on the board probably in the sixth or seventh round, is his replacement. And the guy to replace him right now is Josh Hill. I would say take a chance. That offense likes their tight end. It's Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a decent quarterback. The receiving core has diminished a little bit, but Peyton likes to get the tight end involved in New Orleans. So I'm not saying go out, waste the number one or two pick on this Josh Hill, but watch training camp, see how it progresses, see if he's the number one guy. But if Josh Hill is, I may take a chance on him in late rounds, just to have a backup tight end. Some years I do, some years I don't. It'll all depend on how my draft plays out. But I'm throwing that name out for people because I don't think you'll have a Jimmy Graham-type year, but I think you'll have a good tight end year. I could see Josh Hill being in the top 10 for receiving yards and catches for tight ends. What are your quick thoughts on Josh Hill in New Orleans, bud?
You know, he can put up some decent numbers, tight end numbers, like you said, you know, nothing flashy. And if he's the guy you're taking, knowing that you're not going to get a whole lot out of him week to week, but the weeks you do get something out of him, he plays for you, you know, so be it. If that gets you a better position player because you were able to wait until the last round to pick your tight end, then I'd say go for it. But you know, I think, again, this is probably a guy who could be a very good week-to-week daily fantasy player where you pick your matchup against a team that struggles against tight ends, or you pick him after he's had 3 or 4 weeks where he hasn't done a whole lot, and you say it's his time. So, you know, that's more what I'd say about it. I would like to get a guy that I could be counting on for a little better production, but it's tight ends. You can't count on anybody outside the top 3 or 4.
Exactly, unless you're going out there and getting one of those guys early. I mean, that's the way it goes. And so, again, you got to be careful. You look at the Gronkowskis and the Jimmy Grahams. I mean, outside of that, I'm not sure, you know, if you have to go early with tight end. I mean, even Kelsey from Kansas City and Greg Olsen, I know, is a solid guy. But I'm not sure if they warrant early round draft picks on my board anyway. You know, I don't think. I mean, maybe a Gronk and Jimmy Graham are first round potential, or definitely on the come around or the kickback, whatever you want to call it. But outside of that, once you get past those two, I don't think anybody warrants a first or second round grade in my book. Do you, J.A.?
No, I think I'd be passing.
Well, any last words, buddy? We didn't, you know, I know the intro was about cover that spread, so we're probably going to get cut off here shortly, but why don't you fill the listeners in quick on your show? Wednesday night show is a good show, and we'll get back with the listeners next Thursday at 6:30.
Yeah, make sure you guys check us out Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. on the spread. Me and Casacho will give out some good plays, talking a lot of soccer lately. with the Premier League starting up in England. So be sure to check that one out. You can find the archives on the redlightsportsnetwork.com and also on coverthatspread.com. I've got a little player up there too. So get on there, listen, and just enjoy it. Football season's upon us. Welcome.
It was great talking football tonight, buddy. I can't wait to do it now.